on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial Executive Vice President, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. This is our Wednesday, July 22nd, 2015 edition of InvestTalk, and our goal, as always, is to be a place for you to come for information, financial news, and some encouragement to get you moving along in the right financial direction. And the goal at the end of the day is to become a better than average investor and better than average saver, because the average person doesn't save enough. So there's always two sides of the coin. It's not just about putting the money to work that you do save in the best way possible, but also saving enough, because really that's the number one factor when it comes to being able to have enough money to retire. Now, we try to answer your questions too with our 24-hour listener line, or you can give us a call if you're listening live Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Pacific time. You can also reach us via Twitter, and our handle is at KPP Financial. That's our Twitter handle, and you can send a note directly to us as well by clicking on the Contact Steve or Contact Justin button right there on investtalk.com. So a litany of ways that you can reach out and get a hold of us and get your question answered. Now, one thing you can count on in our world of investing is that things change. It's always changing. That's why you got to keep up with the markets on a regular basis. And the basics that dictate a good decision, however, remain the same. But the world around those methods change. So, you know, there's a lot of noise that can steer you off the path. For example, it wasn't long ago that we were talking about focusing your portfolio, not exclusively, but mostly in the U.S. Is that still the case? Odds are good, the best values are abroad. Timing is always difficult, but that still remains the case. Now, a survey shows that 51% of managers surveyed believe Europe is the best place to park money in the stock market over the next year. Now, when we talk about value, I want to talk about 5-10 years out. Okay. Now, the data from this survey from Barron's also shows that 55% are already overweight in Europe. So maybe all the money's in. Right? So we talked about, if you attended our last webinar, our last conference, if you're an InvestTalk insider, you can go and see our recorded webinar. But you'll see that Asia was the most attractive place to be invested globally. Now, we talk about all this on a daily basis, but it's something you need to keep up with as well. We can talk about it, but you need to have your own data, insight, knowledge about the space for you to make the proper decisions. Now, we talk in that webinar about ADRs. What are ADRs? You know what an ADR is? These are foreign stocks traded on our exchanges. And we shared a list of foreign market ETFs there as well, if you're an InvestTalk insider. So that's just one example of a resource that we give free to our clients, to our listeners, to help better educate them on a daily and weekly basis. Now, if you like to see this or any one of our whole library of webinars or just resources that will help you become a better investor, you can sign up to become InvestTalk Insider. It's free. You can do it on investtalk.com. Now remember, you can talk to us live 4 to 5 Pacific time on InvestTalk or in between programs. Just leave your question. And here's our first question of the day from our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Stephen, Justin. This is Sean from New York. enjoying your podcast shows. I have a question about when companies, especially big ones, have a split in their shares. Is it fair to assume that when they have a split, like Netflix had, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, they become undervalued all of a sudden and it's a good time to buy, or it's there are other things that one has to consider after each split? Waiting to hear your comments on that. Thank you very much. Bye.
That's it's a good question, and it's something I think a lot of people misconstrue. And now studies do show that when a stock has a share split, it splits 2-for-1, 7-for-1, whatever it is, the next couple of years it does tend to outperform. I'll say that. That doesn't mean it's the holy grail of investing or anything like that. But it doesn't increase the value. You know, a share split doesn't make the company more valuable. You know, Apple, when it was at $700 a share, whatever, right? Back in 2012, it did a share split. Actually, no, back in 2014, last year, it did a share split. And at that time, it was around the $700 a share mark. And when it split, it went down to $90-something dollars a share, $80-something dollars a share. Apple didn't become more valuable overnight. Same with Netflix. Netflix didn't become more valuable overnight. The market cap, the amount that investors were valuing it at, didn't suddenly become better. Didn't become higher. It was the exact same. So don't think this creates a big bargain, a big bargain or anything like that. Same thing I talk about. If a stock is trading for $2 a share, there's most stocks trading for over $200 a share are cheaper than stocks that trade for $2 a share. From a valuation perspective. And most people don't understand that. So just be aware of that. And it's a good question, but don't think that it's a surefire bet that it's suddenly become a great value. It's valued exactly the same because the market cap didn't change. Now, how to find bargains among high-priced stocks. That's our main talking point today. In today's market, it's become very difficult to find good values because of how expensive so many different the market as a whole is. And we're going to talk about that and how you should think about investing in your portfolio and making good investment decisions in light of an overvalued market. I also want to talk about a few other things. I want to talk about how to prepare your finances for getting a mortgage. Whether it's refinancing a mortgage, whether it's buying a house, selling your current one, getting another house, whatever it is, you're going to get a new mortgage. What are the steps you should take to make sure that you A, get the best rate, and B, make the right mortgage situation for you? So we're going to talk about that. I also want to talk about saving money on insurance, particularly car insurance. There's some ways for you to do that, and I think it would be prudent for us to discuss that because many drivers are really throwing away sometimes thousands of dollars per year on insurance, and how can you make sure you're getting the right price? And then risk versus reward. We talk about that here on the show, and that kind of relates to our current talking point today. But that's ultimately the way you should be thinking about every investment decision. So many people focus on just the reward or just the risk, and in reality, you should be balancing both. Okay, so I'm going to touch on that and how you should use that in context to your overall investment thinking. Those are my talking points today, but ultimately, I want to hear from you. What is on your mind? 888-99-CHART is our number. That's how you get through to ask your question on today's show. So, and I always encourage people to make that call sooner rather than later. Some people push that time limit and get into the last 5 minutes, and we always like to get callers in sooner rather than later. Now, what did the market do today? The Dow was down 68, NASDAQ was down 36, the S&P was down 5. And it was all on the back of really Apple, Microsoft's earnings were poor as well. So you had a few tech names really weighing on the overall market. You had Yahoo down a little bit, but really it was Apple. It's a big portion of the NASDAQ, a decent sized portion of the S&P. Remember, these are market cap weighted indices. And that means Apple is the biggest company in the world, and suddenly it's it's going to weigh on the markets if it has a rough earnings report. So the positives were a few things. One, small caps were actually higher. So the broad major indexes, big cap indexes were down, but the small caps were higher. Now, the exact opposite had happened the previous couple days. And overall, small caps are still lagging the S&P and lagging the NASDAQ, etc. And that's a warning sign overall. But in today's action, there was actually some positives from the small cap space. You had oil and gold come rebound a little bit, which was interesting considering the dollar was up. But the dollar does look like it's ready for a breather. So I think you'll see a rebound in commodities in the near term. And depending on its speed and volume behind it, I think you could be seeing a longer term bottom in commodities. But I think it's still too early to really say that yet. Now, I'm glad you're with us for Invest Talk. What do you want to talk about? I want to hear from you. What is on your mind? What stocks are in your portfolio that you may be thinking about selling, adding to? What's on your watch list? What sectors are you focusing on? We can talk about real estate as well. Interest rates, bonds, private equity, whatever you want to talk about. The overall economy. Let's hear from you. Now, does an investment match your investment goals? That's a big question as well. What type of investor are you, and what type of investment should you be targeting based on those investment goals? That's what's suitable for you. Those are all questions that we can talk about on today's show. 888-99-CHART is how to reach me right now on Invest Talk.
Hey, Steve, it's Matt Medill from Kansas. I was calling to get your advice on, I'm in the telecommunication for my individual account, and I was wondering what you thought about investing half in AT&T and half in Verizon, or would you invest all of your slot of that 3 to 5% in just one of those companies? Thanks again. Thanks for what you guys do.
He's looking at AT&T and Verizon, really the two largest telecom companies in the world, or wireless telecom companies here in the United States, and I think they do have some global operations as well, but they're giant companies, and he's in that industry, so maybe that's why he's looking to get exposure. I wouldn't probably over leverage yourself to that industry. Just because you work in that industry, so I wouldn't think of it that way. But Verizon and AT&T are both very good companies. We own Verizon for some of our managed accounts. AT&T is having some issues about revenue growth, and earnings growth is starting to fall. So I would the yield on AT&T is better, but Verizon has the better balance sheet, and it has a better customer base, and it's really just performing better on an operations standpoint. So if I would pick one, I'd pick Verizon, but there's nothing wrong with picking both and being more diversified. Both are good companies that have good dividend yields that will probably stay pretty sound. Now, right now, on this July 22nd edition of Invest Talk, we're ready to take your questions, any money questions you may have. Give us a call, 888-992-4278 is how to reach us on Invest Talk.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. When it comes to building college funds, planning for retirement, creating estate plans, plenty of opportunities for serious missteps. How to manage high impact financial planning decisions. That's our talking point for Wednesday's podcast. We hope you'll join us then.
888-99 chart, 888-992-4278. That's how you get through and ask your question on Invest Talk today. Now, the markets are expensive, broadly. Really, a lot of asset classes are. I mean, real estate, that's what happens when you have low interest rates, right? Where the cost of cash, right, the opportunity cost are high because cash is yielding nothing. And that's really what the Fed's been designed to do, is to force people to go out and invest, search for yield, etc. And that's caused prices to really skyrocket across the board of all types of assets, bonds, stocks, real estate, etc. And it's become difficult to really find good values out there in the marketplace for all types of assets. But it doesn't mean that there aren't values out there. There are still stocks that are priced lower than they really should be, despite all the historical numbers relative to earnings being stretched. So when you're thinking about what you're putting in your portfolio, understand that don't get discouraged. Don't think, okay, there's nothing out there. Broadly, it's too expensive. I don't want to be in the market. No, there are values out there. It's just you have to be a lot choosier than maybe you used to be. And you have to find things in the market that are overlooked. You know, most people, they just look at the headlines. You know, what did this company do? It went up in earnings, etc., right? And they get excited about that. But if you're looking for good value, that's usually a poor place to find the gems, because everyone's covering those companies. Nobody's really overlooking anything that's going on with those companies. They're highly scrutinized. You know, think of the Apples and the Googles of the world, Netflix, etc. And many times, a lot of them are overhyped, especially in this market. And in a time when growth, you know, the market is starved for growth, growth gets bid up because everyone's looking for what are the companies that are growing, what are the companies that are growing. And everyone just focuses on those. And they ignore the companies that maybe, you know, their business is steady, but they're not having this explosive growth. And that, I think, is where you're going to see the good value. So the companies that they don't seem exciting, they're not in the news, they're maybe only they're growing their earnings, you know, in the mid-single digits. Their dividend yield is only maybe 1-1.5%. But guess what? Those are the companies that are cheap. Those are the companies that most people are overlooking. And that is where you find the good values in today's market. Let's go to Fred in Northern California. How you doing, Fred? You there? Fred, how's it going?
Okay.
What can I do for you?
Yes, I just wanted to know if I had about $30,000 to invest, what would be the best possible situation I could put myself in to yield a return for my family in possibly about 10 years?
Possibly in about 10 years. Well,
I'm just looking for long term.
Yeah. So you're saying you could if this particular investment, I'm gonna say, for example, you purchased this particular investment and it went down 30% in the next 2 years, would you freak out? Would you sell? Would you panic?
No.
No, so you could handle, you know, in the next 2 years, go down 30%. You're okay, but you're ready to hold on for the long term, 10 years from now.
Yes.
Okay. Then I would probably say, you know, the broad indexes, the SPY, the S&P 500, you know, over a 10-year period, the odds are very good that prices will be higher 10 years from now than it is today. Now, is it going to be much higher? I would say it's probably not going to be much higher. But okay. I could say that for a lot of asset classes. to be frank. You know, to me, commodities are the best value in the market today. So I would think of, you know, maybe the big blue chip oil companies of the world, the ones that are household names. I think those are probably some of the better values in the marketplace. But then again, you know, there could be more volatility there as well. But I think 10 years from now, that's going to be a better return from those commodity-based companies than the S&P. Okay?
Okay.
But I think both will be higher 10 years from now.
Okay.
Okay? But
sounds good.
You could do a barbell approach as well. Have a little bit here, a little bit there. Just get diversified. You have seem to have a higher risk tolerance, which is good. And that gives you a lot of options. And commodities are certainly the most attractive place in the market right now. Thanks,
okay,
Fred.
So are commodities safe?
Nothing is completely safe. But they are. You have a safety of value at these levels. Okay? But they can certainly go down more. Now, coming up on the next half hour, Invest Talk 101. Don't get caught by a value trap. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein. You can reach me now at 888-99-CHART. Let's go to Syed in Oakland. How are you doing, Syed?
Hi, how are you?
Well,
I have a question regarding like option trade.
Okay.
So I want to see if it's correct to do this or is not correct. Is it possible just to buy a option like call and put at the same time around earnings, like for example, Apple earnings?
So you want to buy a call then, and what was the other part?
And a put at the same time.
Yes, that's called a strata.
So this way the earning comes on line with the estimate, then you make money. But if the earning doesn't come right, then you lose money, right? So if you have both, it's kind of like a security for you, right?
Well, it is, but the issue is that, remember, there's something in the options world called implied volatility. And as you get closer to earnings, the implied volatility is high. Because the market is pricing in and it's going to move one way or the other. Now, some companies have high implied volatility, meaning the market expects the movements to be big after the earnings.
Yeah.
Some are very small, like McDonald's usually moves very, 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 1-2% max usually. So the options volatility. So what happens is if you're going to buy a put or buy a call, you're going to have to pay a lot for that implied volatility. You know, you have to pay a lot of implied volatility for those particular options. So if there's an above expected move in the stock, whether up or down, you'll make money on them. But say the market has already priced in a expected move of 6% one way or the other, and it only goes up or down maybe 2 or 3% after earnings. Well, after those earnings come out, that implied volatility is going to fall dramatically. The value of your put or calls are going to fall dramatically. And
so that
you're
means
not going to make money.
If it's going to be trading sideways, so you're not going to make money.
Yeah, it's got to be a bigger than expected move. Okay,
because so you have to look at looking for like 10% or something.
Sometimes the market could be pricing in a 10% move one way or the other. And it needs to move 15% or 12%, you know, for you to actually make money on these options. So it's certainly a strategy. But it sounds like you are, you know, you're looking in the option market. I would do a little more research, understand the risks there, because there are a lot of complexities, a lot of risks, and lean towards selling options, not buying options. Okay? Remember, 85% of options expire worthless.
Yes, right.
85. Yeah. So if you're going to go buy an option, whether it's a put or a call, there's a very high likelihood that by time it expires, it's going to be worth nothing.
Yeah, you have to sell it before it expires. Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, but I'm saying that options, the risk in options are much higher when you're buying them versus selling them. So I would lean towards selling options versus buying options. Okay?
So selling options, like you talk about, like put?
Yeah, you sell a put. You know, if you want to buy, if you think the stock today is relatively undervalued, why not sell a put on it 5% lower or 10% lower? And if it goes down there and you get put it, well, fine, you got a 10% discount. If it doesn't, you know, expires worthless and you get to keep the money. So that's an option, or that's a strategy that certainly has some merit. It's complex. It's not easy by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a much better strategy than going out and buying a bunch of options and trying to hit home runs.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Sid.
I have to look into that. All right, thank you.
Let's go to AJ in San Francisco. How you doing, AJ?
Hi. I was wondering, you were talking about value plays and commodities. SU has a very good dividend yield, and with oil prices being at such low value right now, what do you think of it for both its dividend yield and its future potential?
SU, this is Suncor. This is actually a name that we used to own. Luckily, we got out of it at a profit much, much higher. I think it was earlier last year. But it's certainly a good company. Definitely don't have any problems with that. So it's good company to have in your watch list. Its yield is 3.5%, but the issue right now, just like all these energy companies, is earnings fell 90% year over year last quarter. Revenue fell 30%. So that's certainly something that should be expected, but you know, it's also an issue at the same time. Now the question is, it does pay 3.5% yield, but right now, based on those earnings of, call it 60 cents over the last 12 months, it's very high payout. Now their debt is modest, so they should be able to handle that. Okay, they should be able to deal with that in the short term. Now if oil prices stay down here in the 40 or 50 to $60 range for an extended period of time, you know, 2-3 years from now, Suncor could be running into some trouble and they probably will cut that dividend. But if oil prices rebound back in the $70-$80 range and can stay there for an extended period of time, then I think Suncor will do very well. So a lot of it depends on your outlook for oil, but I like Suncor here. I like a lot of energy names here. It just hit its 200-month moving average, which is probably a good level of support. So, and a lot of support back from 2011 as well. So, I think it's a good value play. I like what you're thinking. You could take some more pain in the short term, but this is certainly a good one to be looking at and a good company to own for the long term.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling, AJ. That was Suncor. SU is the symbol. Now, time for Invest Talk 101. Don't get caught by a value trap. This is very important. This is a concept everybody needs to understand, especially in this day and age when people are chasing yield. Because a lot of companies that have high yield, I wouldn't say a lot, but there are many companies out there in the marketplace that have high yields, but the yields are likely going to be cut, or the P ratio looks really cheap. You know, it's a single-digit P ratio, and you think that it is a great value. Well, it could be, but it also could be a value trap, and understanding how value traps can tempt you into big stock market losses is very important. Now, the term value trap happens when an investor sees this opportunity to acquire a company based on, you know, its price relative to earnings or sales or whatever, or dividend, right? And they think that it promises them a much higher than average profit than they see out there in the market broadly, right? But the facts of their business prove it's really just an illusion. That in the short term, things look good, but in the long term, the prospects for the business are very poor. And there are a number of reasons value traps can appear, and here's just one example. One is a permanent change in the cash generation power of the firm or the industry as a whole. You think about horse and buggy manufacturers back, you know, when the Model T came out, right? And their days were numbered as soon as really the Model T hit the market. and their product lines were really doomed to the automobile. So put yourself back in time. And if you saw the price decline of these horse and buggy, you know, makers, and you looked at their past income, you thought, this is cheap compared to the fundamentals. But you'd be wrong, because going forward, their business was really doomed. And this is why we always say, when you're investing, you have to invest in looking through the windshield, not the rearview mirror. And that's why numbers are good. Understanding what company has done in the past is important. But just as important as the numbers is understanding their business and whether that is actually a sustainable business over the long term. So don't get trapped. Another good example is BlackBerry. Right? Remember BlackBerry? They hit $140 a share back in 2008. They were killing it. But then the iPhone came out. And even when the first iPhone came out in 2007, BlackBerry's stock went from the high was $137, and it pulled back. It dropped pretty decent, hit a low of $80. So from $137 to $80, it's a big drop. But then it rallied all the way back up, and probably because people didn't think that the iPhone was going to be a big hit. And at first, it wasn't a giant success. And so everyone said, iPhone's nothing, right? And it hit a BlackBerry high of $148, all-time high, in the middle of 2008. And then by the end of 2008, when the first 3G iPhone hit, iPhone 3G hit, and it was a giant hit. It was my first iPhone, it was iPhone 3G. BlackBerry cratered. And it went all the way down in late 2008 to about $40 a share. And if you look backwards based on sales from 2007, 2008, you'd say BlackBerry, cheap, super cheap. And some investors jumped in. It doubled from 40 to 80. And they say, oh, yeah, this is great value. Well, guess what? From 80, went all the way down to a low of $6 and change. Now it's at $7.70 a share. So that's a great. Those are two great examples of how you need to understand their business and their competitors and the industry that they're operating in. So don't get trapped. You got to work to discover the reasons why other owners have dumped their equity, and uncover the bad news and the expectations that are causing everyone to become disgruntled with the business. Then try to figure out whether A, you think their negative expectations are likely to come to pass, whether or not they're over or underestimating the problems of the business, and to what degree. And then you can decide whether this is likely a value trap or not. So that's Invest Talk 101. There's a link to this from about.com. It's an article right on our website, and you can see it on investtalk.com.
The first step is to learn how much risk you feel comfortable with. Then Steve and Justin can tell you if your current portfolio matches up. Our free risk analysis tool is there to help. It asks simple questions and helps you put a number on your risk tolerance. Try it. Just takes about 5 minutes or less. It's there for you on investtalk.com.
Hey, Steve, this is Scott from Denver. Hey, I've got a question about investment property. I was going to change my investment property and add my wife's name to the title. And when I was going about to do that, someone had recommended to me that I put the investment property in a trust. And when I started to look at it, there were several options, S-Corp, LLC. And I was just wondering, based on your previous experience in rental properties, which one probably works the best for you? And if you can't give me really a definitive answer of either one, maybe some advantages and disadvantages of the options that are out there. Thanks, Steve. Looking forward to your answer.
Yes, you have an investment property. It should be in a trust, most likely. Now, there's a lot of different options. It's very complex to talk about on air. What I would recommend is go to our website, hit contact Steve, contact Justin button, send us an email, and we can get on the phone and talk this out a little bit and even bring in a trust attorney that we work with that can give you a little more insight as well. So that would probably be the best course of action when you're trying to decide what to do. So let's talk a little bit about preparing your finances for a mortgage. Now, this goes for really everybody. I mean, the odds are most people that are listening right now, you're going to apply for a mortgage at some point in your life, in the future, right? And banks are beginning to loosen their minimum requirements for a mortgage, which you could construe as a good thing or a bad thing. Even down payments as low as 3%, which I think is a horrible thing. I don't think any market that should be reliant on 3% down payment on a house. But it's happening again, which we can go on for days. But I want to talk about what you need to do to make sure you get the best mortgage, the best rate that you possibly can. Now, number one is when you're applying for the mortgage, figure out what your purpose of this house is. Are you going to be in it for the long term? If you are, fixed rate mortgage. It's going to be a little higher than maybe a variable rate mortgage. But if you're going to be in it for 5+, you know, I would say more than that, 10 plus years, or I want to own it for 10 plus years, it's hard to find a period in history where you're going to get a better mortgage rate than you do today. I know it's creeped up a little bit, but it's certainly what you should be focused on. Now, if you think it's only short term, maybe you might move jobs, whatever. You're going to have a bunch of kids and want to move up to a bigger house eventually. Then an adjustable rate mortgage actually is not a bad idea if you think you're only going to stay there for a short period of time. So understand the risk there. You could leave you scrambling if rates do rise, etc., but it's something to consider. Number two, a lot of people think student loans are a deal breaker. They're not. I know it's hard to save with student loans, etc., and that's really a big issue, but it's just part of a normal debt lenders are looking at you. Number three, reduce your debt to income ratio. Pay down as many obligations as you can. Pay off as many obligations as you can, whether it's student loans, credit cards, etc. And that relates to number six, which is educate yourself about your credit situation. Reduce your credit card utilization rate. Stop applying for any loans in the last 6 to 9 months. Don't apply for any new loans and get your fiscal house in order, because this your credit score will have a major impact on what rate you get when you do get that mortgage. Now we're about to finish up for the day. We have one more section coming up. Give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Questions you should ask your aging parents. Have you been approached by a broker, agent, or investment promoter recently? Are you concerned about a financial decision they've made recently? Why not run it by Steve for his opinion? 888-99-CHART is our anytime number, or you can get a note directly to a financial advisor about it, and they will respond. To do that, just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin.
Now, the world of investing gets more complex each and every day, and we spend every day studying the possibilities and pitfalls of the market, and maybe we can help you sort it all out. We're here for you right now at 888-99-CHART, and if you're listening to our podcast, when we are not live, you can still get us your questions, same number, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Bobby calling from Atlanta, Georgia, podcast listener. I was calling about symbol AGCO. A as an apple, G as a George, C as a Charlie, O as an orange. I do not own it, but was thinking of buying some, but was looking forward for your opinion before I make the decision. Look forward for the answer on the next show. Thank you. Bye.
All right. He's looking at AGCO. This is a company that manufactures agricultural tractors, self-propelled sprayers, and combines them for the agricultural equipment industry. So it's in the farm machinery sector of the economy. And this is a company that's having some issues. Revenue's down 27% year over year last quarter. That's the worst It's been in a long, long time, ever since 2009. Earnings are down 58% year over year. And for 2015, earnings expected to be down 38%. Next year, it's supposed to rebound again, but the trends aren't good. And I don't think it's going to be much of a rebound, if at all. Yields 1%, not enough for me here. Low debt ratio, which is good. They're still cash flow positive, still earning money. So it is relatively cheap, but it's a shrinking business. I want to know, why is that? Why is it not doing so hot? It worries me a little bit. Now, the cash flow from operations is actually pretty good. And it's actually growing, but earnings are doing weak. So why is that? Revenues are falling. That's an issue, but they're still squeezing out cash flow. Are they doing that by cutting costs? Is there a limit to that cutting costs? That would be a big question for me as well. So, the fact that revenues are continuing to drop, return on equity is dropping, net margins are dropping. That's an issue, and I would probably stay away from it for that reason. And why else? Is somebody else eating their lunch? And that's what I'm thinking. And that's why it probably is a value trap. But I would do a little more research. Let's go to Schrader in San Jose. How you doing, Schrader? You there? Hello.
Hey, I'm here. I'm calling in regards to the symbol FIT, F-I-T.
Okay, Fitbit. Do you own it? You want to buy it?
Yeah, I want to buy it.
Okay, and why do you want to buy it?
Well, that's, I've been reading a lot of positive reviews about FIT, and it looks very promising. So just I wanted to hear your thoughts about it.
Well, it's certainly promising. It's a company that Fitbit, they make fitness tracking devices, and they just went IPO. And I'll let you understand this. When a company goes IPO, usually it's a poor time for the average investor to be investing. You've got to remember, who's selling in an IPO? Do you know that, Trader? Who's selling stock in an IPO? Do you know that when a company goes IPO, who's selling the public stock? Do you have an answer?
Who is selling the public stock?
Yeah, the company went IPO, so now there's stock out there able for you to buy. Right?
Probably, I would say the initial investors, whoever did the investment.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that and usually management. And the original investors, especially management, they're not going to sell when market's attractive. They're not going to go IPO when it's attractive for the average investor to be investing. And they're going to go IPO when it's attractive for them to sell. So right now, Fitbit is very expensive. It's very overvalued. It's certainly a good company. There's a lot of risks with Apple Watch and other types of wearables that are going to hit the market. And they're going to have a tough time competing, I think, over the long term. So it's very expensive, and I would stay away from Fitbit. In the short term, it could keep going up, but long term, I don't think it's going to do so hot. Now we're out of time for today. A reminder, Steve's portfolio checkup schedule is nearly full for our August 4th date in San Jose. I believe there's one spot left, but it is first come, first serve. So to save your spot, just go to investtalk.com, click on Make an Appointment button. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein for Steve Peasley and everyone at KPP Financial. Thank you for listening. Enjoy your evening, and let's talk again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461.
InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.